Today we are going to speak about persistence and endurance. It's an aspect of life that every self-help guru or expert will touch upon. They'll let you know that in order to be successful in anything, you have to embrace the knowledge that you have to push through the difficulties and the obstacles of life. My son John just finished a season as a cross-country runner. And part of running cross-country is to run when no one's chasing you. And for many of us, there's no reason to run, right? How many of us could endure a 5K? Keep running. The aspect of moving through the pain in life is a very important one that we all must acknowledge if we are going to be able to move forward and move on. Endurance is necessary in any vital endeavor. In order to succeed over the long term, you must have perseverance, persistence, endurance in your quiver. You have to be able to endure through the difficult times, through the painful times, in order for us to be successful in life or in ministry. Too frequently, the hard work of life causes us to quit on our life's goals prematurely. In fact, for far too many of us, we quit right before the breakthrough, right before success is in our reach. One of the reasons for this is because oftentimes over time, we fatigue as we are moving. And so as these two miners are discovering, you see there's diamonds at the end there. And the one miner just is turning around right before he breaks through. You don't know where they are. You don't know where your breakthrough is today, do you? And yet for many of us, we say, oh, we've dug enough. We've worked hard enough. There's no reason to move forward. It's time to quit and go home. That close to the breakthrough. Just a few more swings and you would have gotten there. But you don't know because we quit. Jesus is telling us in the parable of the widow who is persistent that there's no reason to give up and quit. That our continued persistence in prayer is a necessary aspect of our ministry and our work in Jesus Christ. In fact, the world knows this better than the church does. You see, the world knows that it doesn't matter how many times you go bankrupt, you keep trying to win. The world knows it doesn't matter how many times you lose, you keep training so that you can win. You know, back in the day, there was a professional basketball player by the name of Michael Jordan. Has anyone ever heard of him? Michael Jordan, when asked about hitting game-winning shots, recognized that for every game winner he hit, there was one that he missed. He said the secret to it was to keep shooting. Every time you had the ball, you had to believe that you can score. And so he knew that he didn't make every game winner. But which ones do you remember? You remember the game winners, don't you? You remember when he made the shot. It's incredible how our memories work like that. Winners are remembered for winning, even though they lose just as frequently. Why do we remember him in that way? Well, we remember it because due to their inability to ever give in, their inability to ever stop, the relentless attitude of victory, more often than not, they push through. These are people that don't hang their head. This is coaches and players and people in life who, when halftime is there and they're down 15, they don't think they will lose. They never hang their heads. They never think that the game's over. They go out and they just play every play as if it matters. People in the church have to understand that our job is to be persistent in the right things. The persistent widow parable is an interesting one because Jesus never tells us whether she's right or wrong. We assume she's right, don't we? But she could be equally wrong or right, and the parable would still have meaning, right? Who is her adversary? We're not told. But what we are told is that she is so tenacious that even an unjust judge rules in her favor. Why? Just to shut her up. Just to keep her away from his door. He's actually afraid of this woman. Think about that. The judge who is in power is afraid of a powerless widow because her persistence is so strong. And so Jesus says, if even this widow can win over the judge, how much better is it going to be for you who have a judge who is just and who loves you and who's on your side and in your corner? And so if you're persistent, if you're prayerful, if you work hard, God will see you through. Now, some of us contend with a lot of difficulty in life. And we fight against things that are of our own making and sometimes we're born into. Many of us fight through disabilities in life. We fight through problems that we have that, frankly, are not our own fault. And frankly, some of them are. We have, each of us, obstacles to success that are built into our lives. The question that we have to ask is, are we going to move through those obstacles to find what God wants us to accomplish? Now, the second story from the Bible that we heard today was the story of Jacob. And Jacob had many things that got in his way of victory. And many of those things were himself. Jacob, from birth, was someone who fought against everyone. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jacob was one of two twins born to Isaac. He was the second born of the twins. His older brother was a fellow by the name of Esau. And when Esau was born and he popped out of mom, Jacob was grabbing onto his ankles. The Bible tells us that they were fighting for supremacy in the womb. Talk about sibling rivalry, right? Because of this, because he was grasping at the heel of his brother, his parents named him Jacob, which means he who supplants. Now, what's a supplanter? Well, the actual word means, Jacob actually means heel grasper. It's a literal word. But it means a supplanter or some who is willing to overtake, override, cheat, do whatever it takes to get ahead. This was Jacob. And Jacob would do anything to win. Jacob was a tenacious person from the beginning of his life. He knew how to fight. He knew how to fight dirty. He knew how to win. Jacob was a winner. But it left collateral damage throughout the entirety of his life. Jacob was one of these guys who everyone knew was a winner, but everyone secretly hated for winning. And you see it in the damage that his life had wrought. He had a brother who hated him and had vowed to kill him. Why? Because he supplanted his older brother. He stole the birthright. He had parents that couldn't trust him. He literally fooled his blind father and pretended, he played dress up, he pretended to be his older brother in order to steal the blessing from his dad. And then once he had stolen the blessing, he left home. He wasn't heard from for a decade. He didn't send a Christmas card. He didn't make a Sunday afternoon phone call. He just disappeared. He was so embarrassed that he never even took hold of that which he had won. This is the guy that wins the World Series and doesn't go into the locker room to celebrate. He sneaks out the back door and hides because he knows what he did. Now, the simple truth is that God was working in Jacob's life the entire time. Jacob was not an irredeemable person, even though at the time when God wrestles him, most of us would have thought that he was. He had contended against everyone, and every place that he had gone, he had run away to fight again. In fact, even this very moment, Jacob is running away from his father-in-law, who he spent the last several years trying to cheat back into balance. Jacob was going to run away from his father-in-law until his father-in-law caught him and made him at least give him the opportunity to say goodbye to his daughters. Jacob's run away and fought and run away and fought his entire life. He's a fighter, but he's undisciplined. He doesn't know what he wants. He just knows that the next fight's in front of him, and he's going to take a swing at it. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like your life was out of control? That all you've done the entirety of your life was fight the next battle, take the next test, endure the next obstacle, but you never found that you could break through to even know why? This is Jacob's life. And now he's on his way home, and he knows that as soon as he meets his brother's going to kill him. He knows that the chickens have come home to roost, and that his brother and his family are going to be eating boiled Jacob once he gets there. And so he finds himself a space to rest, to consider his strategy, and to prepare for the morning. And then God breaks in. And I say God breaks in because this is not what Jacob was expecting. Jacob wanted that peaceful evening before the fight. But God engaged him in a battle before he was ready. And Jacob expends all of his energy fighting God. And then the penny drops for all of us. Because in our undisciplined lives, in the chaos that we all live in, how many of us have spent our lives fighting God, seeking to find our way to victory without ever consulting what God has for us? You see, we're all Jacobs inside. We're all supplanters. We're all heel graspers. We're trying to get to the next step. We're trying to win. We're trying to have a victory, but we don't even know what that means. And many of us, when we get to that place where we've defeated our enemies, where we've gained what we thought would make us happy, we're just as empty as before. We thought winning the game would make someone love us. We thought earning enough money would make someone respect us. We thought that the degree would make someone, think that we were valuable. And then we get to the other end and we realize that we don't feel any different. Jacob fights God. And the sad truth is that until he loses, he'll never win. So God dislocates his hip, wounds him. I love this aspect of the wound, and we'll get back to that in a moment. But Jacob won't stop. He's wounded. He's crippled. He can't go on, but he won't let go until he's blessed. Somewhere in Jacob's heart, he gets it. He figures out what's going on. He's been fighting for so long, and he's so weary from all of his battles, all of the drama in his life, that he's finally gotten to the point where he realizes the drama has to stop. But he's not ready to just surrender. He wants to be blessed. Now, let me tell you something about blessing. Blessing always comes from the top down. To be blessed, you need to recognize that the other person has something to give you. Most of the time in our struggles in the world, most of the time when we're fighting against all of our obstacles, we actually are trying to break through something that we believe that we can conquer. We want to conquer our obstacles. But blessing is different than conquering. Blessing is having something given to us. It goes top down instead of bottom up. It's not us attacking, it's God giving or someone else giving. And when Jacob is blessed, he's blessed by God giving Jacob a new name. Jacob means supplanter. It means heel grasper. It means cheater. Israel is a very different name. Jacob's a bad name. Israel's a good one. Israel actually comes from the root of the same name that Sarah was given. Now, Sarah, remember, wasn't Sarah. His grandmother, Sarah, was once named Sarai. And Sarai meant quarrelsome. Can you imagine marrying a woman whose name was quarrelsome? That's what Abraham had the pleasure of doing. And that's who Sarai was. She was quarrelsome. She was a tough lady. She was strong. Strong-willed, just like Jacob was. But God changed Sarai's name from quarrelsome to Sarah, which means princess. She finally became who she was in God's eyes. From quarrelsome to princess. And Israel means something very similar. Jacob went from someone who contends against to someone who is ruled, ruler, Sarah, El, God. The Bible tells us that it means that he was named Israel because he contended against God and against people and persisted. A scholar by the name of Boyce tells us that if you really look at the word, what Israel means is God rules. And what Jacob finally had to understand was that if he was going to have any victory in his life, he was going to have to stop fighting and start letting God lead and rule. Now let's get back to his limp. Because the limp of Israel is something that we have a hard time embracing, but we have to understand what it means. Because it's something that we find in the life of Jesus. Something's always bothered me. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he still had his scars. It's always bothered me because most of us would say that on the day of resurrection, we will be healed from all of our scars. Do we really want to have scars in heaven? But Jesus has scars. Why? Part of Jacob's limp is an understanding of what God has done with him and through him. And there's victory in it. There's an understanding that Jacob has been strong his entire life. He's been strong enough for every fight. He's had the persistence. He's had the endurance. Not even God could bring him down. But yet he never got anywhere. He was never happy. He was never satisfied. He was never content. And the last image that we see is Jacob limping towards a battle that he knows he can't win on his own. For the rest of his life, he's going to have this limp. The mighty Jacob, the patriarch that could win anything, the patriarch, the man who would never give up, is now going to spend the rest of his life limping in victory. When Jacob acknowledges that God will be his guide, then he no longer needs to operate under his own strength. Part of our dilemma in the church today is that we look for fabulously talented people with great gifts. We look for people who are smart enough, who are patient enough, who are good enough. And then we seek to let that talent, that ability, guide us. Here's the problem, folks. Talent isn't what brings us victory in Jesus. It's God that does it. God could use a wounded warrior far better than God can use a healthy, selfish man or woman. We got to make a determination in the church. Are we going to be wounded warriors led by God? Or are we going to be strong and healthy, vibrant contenders against God? Are we going to fight against God with everything that we have? Or are we going to walk with God even if it's with a limp? Jesus showed us the way when he took to the cross. And he was willing to lose in order that we might win. He had his own night in which he struggled, and the angel came to him. But when the angel came to Jesus, the angel didn't fight Jesus. God didn't fight Jesus. Jesus surrendered and gave himself to God's will. We also must decide who we're going to surrender to. And whether in surrendering, we can move forward in faithfulness. It's a game changer if you do this. It will change your life. You might have been obstinate. You might have been able to endure everything. You might be winning. But God is calling you to be obedient and to surrender to God. Some of us have a tough time because we don't fully understand that when we surrender to God, it's a sign of our love for God, and it's a sign of trust and faithfulness. You know, one of the problems is why would we listen to anybody? We have a difficult time in taking advice from people because, frankly, they might be idiots, right? I mean, have you ever been burned by someone who gave you bad advice? Buy this stock or the answer is B, and they were wrong. You know, you cheat from the wrong kid in class and you can be in real trouble, right? God has you in mind in everything God is doing. God wants to prosper you. God wants you to benefit. But God also knows that even if you gain the entire world and don't have God, don't know the Lord, don't have love in your heart, you gain nothing. It's time for the church to put its hands into God and have our name changed, to have literally who we are transformed in front. We fought against God. Now let's fight for God. We've asked others to surrender before us. Now let's surrender before God. We've been strong and robust, and it's gotten us nowhere. Now let's allow God to control our lives, even though we're older and it's harder to move. It's amazing how we usually get our second wind after our body has already had its best days. It's not done. And no matter how old you are, no matter how crippled you might feel, no matter whether you walk with a limp or not, God can use you, and God wants to use you today. The question is, will you surrender? Will you give yourself over to God's usage? Let's pray. Lord God, in the story of Jacob, we see the story of a persistent man who always fought for himself. You've shown us that you can transform that persistence into godliness. Help us to follow you with all of the vigor that we've sought to gain success in life. Help us to allow ourselves to be transformed, to give ourselves fully to you, to be persistent in faithfulness, in prayer, and in love. Lord God, we ask that you would help the church to fully and truly be the body of Christ from this day forward. And Lord God, if there's anyone who's currently struggling with God now, if you're contending against God, if you find yourself wrestling against God's plans for your life, Lord God, help them to surrender into God's hands. Help them to know that no matter what they have faced, no matter what scars they carry, that you can bring them to the next step. Bless them today and help them to be transformed from the inside out by their very name. In the name of Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.